The title of today's talk is Clear the Decks. Clutter is a distracting thing to have around. It obscures your vision and it distracts from the whole concept of what you're looking at, because there are so many out of symmetric place objects. And it's the same thing with the clutter of ambient sound. It blocks your receptivity to other sounds. So you're not getting a clear, let's say, reception to what is something you may want to pay focus to. The reason that Cimarron saying the charged names of God is so important is that your subconscious mind is trying to clutter the information coming from the soul. It's deliberate, it's intentional, and it's competent. So clearing the decks, so to speak, of the clutter of thought is very difficult. And the tools that the Path of the Master brings are those which give you something to use against the cluttering subconscious mind. So if you are tense, you're going to have high clutter, because it will throw anything and everything at you that adrenaline produces. And because the subconscious mind can throw up bits of data faster than the cognitive mind can interfere with them, it has the upper hand. And it's been well developed from childhood, from the moment of birth, really, because the sympathetic nervous system is fight and flight. Fight and flight is adrenaline. Adrenaline plus other chemicals that keep you tense and keep you cluttering your mind with fast thinking. If, on the other hand, you have a tool to mitigate that adrenaline, then wouldn't you think you'd use it? It would be handy. However, handy doesn't seem to cut it with the subconscious ability to outthink the cognitive mind. So it can produce enough adrenaline to carry you through even an interruptive thought, like maybe relax. It only lets you have the thought, but not the feeling. And then it's back to its interference. As long as you have enough adrenaline in action, a simple thought of a behavior or an action which would interfere, like a smile or relaxed shoulders or sitting quietly or being in touch with the idea of saying the charged names of God or anything like that, you have to fight your way through long enough to have an actual release and reverse of the tension chemicals in your body. So it's not just you have the thought, well, if I relax, then I'm going to be closer to receptivity towards my spirit. Huh. You have to stay there long enough to actually change the chemistry of your body. And if you don't witness that's what you're doing, you won't do it well enough. And you're off and running again. And you wonder how you lost the train of your thought of relaxation or joy or love or open-mindedness or open-heartedness or sitting to meditate. Now, the problem with thinking is, as a man thinketh, so does he become. Oopsie daisy. How much thinking do you do on a daily basis that is tension provoking? The karma of tension is decisions that create karma. Inaccurate, inappropriate thoughts. I can't stand that person. Blah, 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 blah. Why don't they change this? Blah, 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 blah. The subconscious mind has a whole repertoire of things to keep you, let's say, on edge. On edge is not where open heart is, or open mind, or the intention to see God in action. Got it? If you're in the edge of tension, you are not looking for God. Period. And so if you're not looking for God, what are you doing? You're falling heir again to the rapidity of the subconscious tension of need, want, doership, you know, I just have to get this done. I da 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 da. You know, and everything in your society is set up to enforce that. They don't want you. Society does not want you to be looking for God in everything. Period. Looking for God may be all right, but not in everything. And they know you're not going to, because nobody does. Uh-oh. You see? So as a man thinks, so does he become. And you, if you had a record of everything you thought during a day, what kind of karma would you be cooking up? You see, one of the real problems is the problem of trying to teach a child the concept of God. That is a real interesting undertaking. Because a tiny child doesn't have the vocabulary, A number one, to follow the idea or even the concept of adrenaline, right? Or tension. He's just wanting to be able to get the toy across the room. And you're trying to tell him about God? Come on, you know. And he's crying and he says, oh, you tell him, oh, God's taking care of everything. And he cries anyway. It doesn't mean a thing to the tiny child. The closest thing, and the reason we revert to God as a parental image, is that a child knows that if he's in difficulty, he wants a parent to rescue him, or comfort him, or take care, or prepare the meal, or change the diaper, or bring the baba, whatever. So the child, it by default, oftentimes gets the relationship taught to him about God as being an overseeing parent. Now, the problem here is that if you have a problem, you want God hanging around. You want a parent hanging around to take care of you. But if you haven't got a problem, you want them out of the way.
I want to do it myself.
They're in the independent modality. So defining God as a parental image is all fine and well on one side of it. On the other side of it, it doesn't mean much. But the problem is that they get that image stuck in the subconscious early. And they live with it continually. And so you can build a vocabulary towards pointing to the concept of God, but there are no words that contain the definition of God. God is a radiation that has to be caught. It has to imply itself over the lack of real information in the name God, or the idea of God. Because if you want a God hanging around, this kind of archetypical power that you can't see to be hanging around all day long, 24/7, everything you do, is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. The child can't reason it through. Nor can you. God hanging around is an occasional option, you think. And so God gets the rap that, you know, if something painful happens or emotionally disturbing to the child or to the, even the adult, They're mad. God is an ogre if God is supposed to be the caretaker, the parent. Now, do you see the epic proportions of problem in trying to come to terms with the concept of God? You can grow in vocabulary and age and experience, but unless there's radiation, that word, God, that definition called God, doesn't stick. And can be interpreted in so many different ways as, if he wants love, why the hell is everything so unloving? If he wants us to see consciousness in all things, why is it hidden? You see, you don't even dare ask those questions because they're provocative of, maybe I'm misinformed. Maybe I'm being played with. So on guard, the subconscious mind is always critical. Doesn't want an overseeing, quote, quote, parent, because there is a willful desire to be the doer. The subconscious mind is the willful ego wanting to be the doer. So down-training and out-training that requires us to mitigate the amount of tension in the body. It's a scientific equation. If you're tense, you don't feel the radiation of love. And God power is the radiation signature of love. So if we're tense, we're not open-hearted. We're not open-minded. We're not looking towards God or for God in all of, quote, quote, God's creation. It's somewhere else. It's obscured. It's difficult. It's difficult for the adult who's gone through a multitude of conditioning of willfulness, living with fight and flight as the prominent doer in us, in our subconscious. So the idea that the benevolent parent is always walking with us, is always overseeing, is in us, not just overhead, in all of creation, takes intention. You have to intend it 24/7, or it goes away like lightning. We're conditioned. We're in a body that is genetically wired to be tense. Its preemptive wiring is the sympathetic nervous system tension, fight and flight, protect the biological duality of the body. So it's always on guard. That's its job. On guard, on guard, on guard. And if there isn't a methodology or a trained intention to let guard down, you see, it's not just good enough to say relax. You have to intend to let guard down. You have to understand that's what you're doing, and that's part of the reason it's unsuccessful to try it. If you don't understand that you're having to let guard down, what is the drawbridge down? The drawbridge down is the charged names of God. On top of that is the open heart. On top of that is the open mind. On top of that is just pure relaxation and joy, and training the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic nervous system to activate as often as possible. Outside of that, the idea that God is hanging around is, if I don't get what I want, I must not be hanging around. Or if I'm in danger, or if I'm hurt, or something is taken from me, like a parent, or an accident, or a limb, or a pet, or whatever, anything considered a lost opportunity, a lost prestige, a lost child, a lost anything. Then God's the ogre. So we have a problem. It's called conditioning. And the fact that we're in a body that already is genetically hardwired to the sympathetic nervous system reactionalism. It's just science. So when Anik was asked the definition of God, he said there isn't enough paper, enough ink, enough quills to write the definition of God. How do you tell that to a tiny child? You see, you can't. The child, if he doesn't get a transfer in that definition of radiation with the pure frequency of love of God. Hello. You see? And it's very inconvenient for the parent to try and explain God when they don't understand either. So they use words that seem satisfying or semi-satisfying to the curious child. But they don't convey the frequency of wanting to merge with that energy, because the parent isn't providing it. So what happens is the conditioning is, so let's say, pervasive among societies, that unless God power decides that it's time to wake up, that radiation of longing to reconnect to the frequency of God is on the shelf, so to speak. So the life absent of the idea of God as the doer, the creator, remains remote until God creates a situation of awakening. And it has to come from God power itself. And that's why the masters are so important. Is there awake to that frequency? They're connected. And what that does is it transfers and amplifies the potential within the seeker. God power starts anywhere he wants by, let's say, you know, the loss of a loved one, or going to war and having to face horrible things, or how can I make a living, or why did I have this accident, and blah, 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 blah. There's a million ways in which God knocks on the door and creates pain that wants resolve in Daddy, in the Father, in God. And so that breaking up of that all-almighty egoism of the doer has to be pretty, let's say, obvious to create the seeking. And when the seeking has reached a certain level, then the master power appears and amplifies that energy and finally gives the tools of connection. So, yeah, it seems like the idea of God's remoteness, quote, quote, is just simply experiential adventure that God has created for each and every creation. That's God's business. And so reconnecting the separation is also God's business. So if it takes pain and need and finally prayer to, oh Father, oh Daddy, oh Parent, oh Caretaker, what power can save me from this pain and suffering I think I'm having? You see, it's a process. Always has been, and who knows how long it will go on. So the idea that there is the gift of amplifying and, let's say, interfering with the power of distraction that the subconscious mind is organized to provide is an exercise in discipline. And so if we don't use the discipline, I mean, you know, you want to go off a 100-foot ski jump and not practice on a 2-foot or 3-foot ski jump first. Under direction and training, yeah, you see, here we are. Skill requires a master of skill to assist. And so that's why there have always been masters. There are always those that are here to amplify when the seeker is ready. Hafiz puts it in a very interesting way. The angels know you well. You have fathered a child with me. You had your night of fun. If you no longer want the love my beautiful body can yield, at least take care of that holy infant my heart has become. God, you sired an heir with me when you gave birth to my soul. I thought of complaining to all the angels last night about your treatment of this homeless child. But then I remembered, too, they too have a long list of love complaints because they also know you so well. So that siring of the child, the love child, is God power entering in and igniting the longing in the heart to re-commune with the Creator. So this is no airy-fairy little story of, you know, you sired a child with me. Yes, you did. You had your night of fun. If you no longer want the love my beautiful body can yield, yes, the immature love of the child, at least take care of that holy infant my heart has become. So when the heart has finally been quickened by the radiation of God's love, then the work begins. God, you sired an heir with me when you gave birth to my soul. I thought of complaining to all the angels last night about your treatment of this homeless child. But then I remembered they too have a long list of love complaints because they also know you so well. In other words, that you've let them experience separation. You've let them experience duality. That's God's choice. And kick and fight and scream all you want. Because until the union is made again to that infinite love, there's always going to be ups and downs and bumps and scrapes and life in duality, the illusion of duality, the illusion of being lost, the illusion of not having God's love. So, yes, you've been trained from birth to be separate. Because there are no words that will stand for the love of God or God. They must be experienced by radiation. And unless there's the radiation of love, there isn't love. There's philosophy, but there isn't love. There's word definition, but there isn't love. Radiation is a frequency. And so that's what we come to the path of the masters for, is to be in the radiation, to have our radiation quickened, to have our desire quickened, to go through the difficulty of the process of letting go of the conditioning we've received from eons of time genetically and experientially as being separate. So oneness is not a simple concept. And if we're not watching very clearly and succinctly using the disciplines the masters give us, which is the open heart and the open mind, the quietude, the joy, that change the biodynamics of the body so that we can more frequently experience the radiation of the in-housing soul, let alone the master power outside. But there's no outside inside God. And if God is all and all is God, you're inside God. You've just gotten lost in the idea of the container called the body and all its interferent frequencies and needs. So yes, the idea of being in duality is an illusion. But the illusion is a dream that you have to wake up from, this illusionary dream of separation and duality. And you can't do that without experiencing the radiation of it, the radiation of one love, the absolute love. Oh, what a fun assignment.